So today is November 22nd of the year of our Lord, 2009. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 1. And the title of our message is Where to Share. I've done a series of three messages on sharing, what to share, how to share, and this is now where. So what do you want to do with your life? Or you could say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, for some of you that are over the teenage years, you may think, well, what do you mean? What do I want to be when I grow up? But the fact of the matter is, all of us set ideas and goals in our life that we would like to do, or we don't. And what I'm encouraging you to do this morning is seriously consider setting some God-directed, biblically designed goals in your life that would continue on. A lot of people, that when they get to retirement age, think, well, okay, we're done. But I'd encourage you that maybe that's the time that you could share the most. If you're younger, we desperately need some missionaries to our local community, to our nation, and to the world. What do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to just live in this world, or do you want to try to change the world for Christ's sake and for the kingdom? What do you want to do? I've got a couple of illustrations. One of them is Tim McGraw. Anybody know who Tim McGraw is? You've heard of this kid. If you haven't heard of this kid, he's married to a cute lady named Faith, who will sing for some of us tonight before the football game starts. And Tim's a country western singer, and before the CMA Awards, the Country Music Awards, they did an interview with him the night before and a number of others of country western stars, and I was curious enough that I watched. And during that interview, the lady says, now Tim, you grew up in two abusive homes. You had two stepdads, and they were abusive, right? And he said, yes, ma'am. And you learned when you were 11 years old, as you were hunting for something in your mother's closet, you found your birth certificate, and you were really born a son of Tug McGraw, the Philadelphia's pitcher. And he said, yes, ma'am. And then I understand that your father rejected you for 8 years when your mother had the courage to introduce you, that he had no willingness or recollection or didn't want to take any responsibility for you as a son. Is that right? Yes, ma'am. But the physical resemblance between the two of you, eventually the facts showed up and he couldn't deny the facts anymore. So when you were a teenager then, you began to have this relationship with your biological father. Yes, ma'am. Well, wasn't that devastating for you to be rejected by him and, you know, and these other men? No, ma'am. She says, well, what did it do for your life? He said, well, ma'am, that was the first time. I wished I had a real good southern accent. That was the first time that I really had any glimmer of hope that I could be somebody or do something special in my life. And for some of us who enjoy country western music, Tim has done a nice job of living a good family, wholesome life in the midst of all that chaos. Anybody here know who Jimmy Johnson is? Anybody ever heard of Jimmy Johnson? Who is Jimmy Johnson? He's a NASCAR driver, drives a real hot rod Chevy, and today has the potential of setting NASCAR history, of being the only individual who's ever won four consecutive NASCAR champions. Now, he's a good driver, but anybody who understands hot rods knows the boys in the pits are really who make that work. Does anybody know who his crew chief is? He's right. You know where he came from? Rockford, Illinois. There's a little boy from Rockford, Illinois who got his crew chief experience at the Rockford Speedway, who has the potential today to set a record And in the sport, there isn't any crew chief that is any more highly regarded than this young boy from Rockford, Illinois. Now, Chad is his... You have to ask him how to pronounce the last name, right? But his family lives in Rockford, Illinois. There was a point in that boy's life where he decided that he could do something special. And he works hard at that. If you look at his life, and he works hard at it. And he's successful. Now, here's the point. You could be from Cornfield County and do something really amazing with your life at whatever age you are. And all you really need is the hope and the faith to give it a shot. Now, as we look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, here's a cute little one. Once while they were sitting and eating, Jesus said to them, now this is light Thanksgiving dinner conversation, right? Sitting having a meal, and all of a sudden Jesus, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift that he promised, as he told you before. John baptized with water, but just a few days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's really not light dinner conversation, is it? But the fact of the matter is, many of us this week, this Thanksgiving week, will have an opportunity around the dinner table to visit about something. Now, it could be the Bears, could be NASCAR, could be Country Western, could be our love for the Messiah. So, the power we believers receive from the Holy Spirit includes the courage to do that. The boldness to do that, the confidence that God within you could do that, the insight and the ability and the authority to speak that truth. That's what we get from the Holy Spirit. We disciples need these gifts to fulfill our mission. Now, here's the one. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're born again, can you experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Theologically, can you agree with me that that's possible? Theologically, if you've become born again, will God send the Holy Spirit to your life? Now, experientially, that may be a challenge. To experience that belief in shoe leather day to day may be a challenge. But the same way that I talked in those two illustrations, if you have the hope, if you have the faith that God could do something miraculous in your life, He can. Had Jesus told the disciples to witness to them and to all nations in Matthew 28:19, I share with you that passage regularly. We should go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to believe in God and be baptized and to obey everything He commanded. He told them to do that, didn't He? Now, has that departing order changed for you and I? We talked and prayed about the service boys in our country. The departing order of our commander-in-chief was go make disciples. Even though it's 2,000 plus years old, has that order changed for you and I? It really hasn't, has it? Did He tell them to wait for the Holy Spirit? He did. Now, does God have an important work for you to do in the power of the Holy Spirit? You as an individual. Does He have an important eternity-based work for you to do? Not a temporary thing, but an eternity-based thing for you to do. Yes, He does, brothers and sisters. He has that for us in the power. Do you ever want to get ahead of what He's doing? Just get on with the job and find yourself running ahead of God. Any of you just run off and get going at that rather than doing what Jesus said, waiting on the Holy Spirit. I have the general tendency of function to engage my mouth before I do my brain. I have the general tendency, there's a job to do, let's just get at it, and not spend the time in prayer waiting for the Lord. Are you waiting and listening for the for God's complete instructions. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to wait for His timing. Do you need God's timing and His power to be truly effective? Yeah, we do. We really do need to be willing, but also need to wait for His unction and inclination and to become dependent on His Spirit. Jesus was clear to teach that it was God who sets up the timeline for the kingdom work. Whether it's personal, national, or worldwide, it was God that set up the timetable for Jesus Christ to be crucified at Passover. It was God who did that. So, if we want to change, do not become impatient. Trust God and His timetable. As you look at this message and you look at where to share, trust God and His timing to accomplish that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is what it says. But wait, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, this work describes an ever-widening series of circles. The gospel was spread geographically from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and finally to us Gentiles all over the world. So in Jerusalem it started, it spread to Judea and Samaria and then to the world. So they were to share in Jerusalem, they were to share in Judea and Samaria, and they were to share to the ends of the earth, basically everywhere. So where are you and I to share? We're supposed to share in our hometown, number one on your outline. In our region, in our nation, number two on your outline, and in the world. Those are the three places we're supposed to share. So basically, we're to share everywhere or anywhere. Everywhere is what the Bible said, and I came up with, you can do this anywhere. Anywhere that you physically go, you can share. As we pray for one another, you can spiritually go anywhere in the Spirit and everywhere. So for us, it shows up in our hometown. It shows up in our nation and it shows up into the world. If you look at that beautiful picture of the reflections of the leaves, that's a lake that would be great for slalom skiing. No wakes, flat water, beautiful for people like me that love to ski. Now, if you throw a rock into that shallow water, what happens? Makes ripples. The Lord threw a rock in the pond at Jerusalem, and the ripples are still going on. Now, you and I need to get involved in that. So, what can we do in our hometown? Can we change it for the kingdom? Can we do that? Can I change the hometown that I live in? Can I do that? Now, I'm a nowhere's nothing son of a carpenter who didn't live a very good young life, didn't meet the Lord till I was 30 years of age. But after I did, I had the hope that I could help one other guy in my local town to understand how to walk with the Lord. Because of that hope, there now is a series of offices and buildings in Rock Falls, Illinois. And I would have done it in Sterling, except the property values were higher on that side of the river. And I quite honestly didn't have the faith to try to afford that. So we're on Route 40 in Rock Falls. But there is a biblical discipleship center in my hometown, basically because one skinny, incapable kid of a carpenter had the hope that maybe they could help one other guy. I was there this week in between sessions, and I had a lady walk in from the middle of no place. The timing was amazing, right between things that I was getting to do or had to do, as whoever wants to look at that in different ways. And she stopped by to say that her life is forever changed because of my attitude. And I thought, Shazam. That's better than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on whole wheat toast with Lay's potato chips and a Coke Classic to wash it down. You know? And I'm not saying that you should set up a competitive discipleship center, but I'm saying my testimony is we can do that. You and I can change the world we live in. Now, if I change, does that change the town? If your life changes, does that change the city you live in? Yes, it does. Because you have the Spirit of God living within you, and because you're willing to allow that, to let that Spirit flow, you can change the town you live in. Now, did Jesus have trouble and recognition in his own hometown? Yep, sure did. We know this boy. We know his brothers and sisters. We know his mama and his daddy. Who does he think he is? Right? Don't expect it to be any different in your hometown. The Son of God didn't have any breaks that you and I wouldn't experience. So expect it to be a challenge. Had I been biblically smart enough, I might have went and started a discipleship center someplace else because it'd be easier than in my hometown. But I wasn't that smart. God's gospel has not reached its final destination. The ripples aren't done if there is someone in your family, in your workplace, in your school, or your community that hasn't heard the good news about Jesus Christ. Then it's not spread where it has to go. Can we contribute in some way to the ever-widening circles of God's loving message? Can you do that? You and I both can be contributing positive elements to that. First things we need to explore in our sharing God's word is, why would we do it? Why share? The Bible says, but my life is worth nothing unless I'm doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love, Acts 20:24. My life is worth nothing unless I'm about my Father's work. Now, you don't have to be a full-time Christian servant like I am to do that. You can be a stay-at-home mom and do that, you know. But your life won't reach its potential. What do you want to be when you grow up? You want to be a child of God. You want to be a disciple. And you want to be willing to share. So what can I do for my region and my nation? Why did the church in Acts spread to Judea and Samaria? Did they think it was a really good idea to do what Jesus told them to do and they got up and they went out without other motivation? Is that what happened as you read through Acts with me? And Acts 8:1. We just took 1:8 and we just dyslexia transposed those. We went from 1:8 to 8:1. Here's what happened. Saul was one of the witnesses and he agreed completely with the stoning and killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. In Acts 8:4, the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus everywhere they went. So, what will it take you to get out and start sharing outside of your hometown? Do we need a good, healthy dose of persecution? Do you want to wait for the Muslims and some other group? Or would you rather get out there and do it when the going gets easier? If you haven't woke up to the fact the Muslim religion is out to kill all of us Christians. There's a persecution coming. Now, you can wait till it gets here if you want to, till they start killing people. Or you can get at it. I encourage you to get at it, get trained while the going's easier. The truth is, a kernel of wheat must be planted in the soil. Unless it dies, it will be alone, a single seed. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. As you came here and you saw the combines working, they put one kernel in the ground and they're getting two or three ears per plant from that. If you're willing to die to yourself, If you're willing to die to your fears and your selfishness and become involved in spreading the good news in your hometown, in your family, in your nation, in the world, your life can produce a multitude. I mean, your one seed could produce many, many other seeds if you're willing. What has God given you you could share with others? Is there a better message than what Peter shared in Acts chapter 10? Now, here's the first ever preaching to the Gentiles. The church had just been strictly Jewish until this point in time. But in Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34, the context of this is Peter's praying and he's hungry. He hasn't had his Thanksgiving turkey yet. He's hungry, and down comes a sheet from heaven with all kinds of creepy crawly stuff on it. And God says, kill something and eat it, Peter. Peter says, oh, Lord, I never ate any of that stuff. And it happens three times. And at the same time he's doing this, these Gentiles show up from another town. Say, we're looking for a guy named Peter. And Peter follows them to this town into a soldier's home. And as he's there, this is what he shares. Verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. He accepts every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel. Tell them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ to all who is his Lord. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, when a baptism of John was preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good things and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are his witnesses to everything he did in that country to the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him. They hung him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Now, he was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to all people and to testify that he was the one whom God appointed as judge of living and dead. All the prophets testify about him. And everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down and he said to the six believers that came with him, is there any reason that we shouldn't baptize these Gentiles if God sent the Holy Spirit to him? Peter went back to Jerusalem after that and got in a lot of trouble. You were with the Gentiles. He said, yeah, God's called them too. And there was great praising that you and I were invited into the kingdom. Now, his message is not eloquent. It's the simple facts. And that's what you and I could share. Have you ever heard the saying, bloom where you're planted? Anybody heard that? What's that mean? What's it mean when a what's it take to make a flower bloom? Here is what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:7. The ones who do the planting and the watering, they aren't important. But God is important because he is the one who makes the seed grow. So the facts are, it's God moving in your life that motivates you, encourages you, gives you the tools to do this. It's God in you that does the planting and the watering. So, if we were to share God's love and his word, is it really us that do that? Think about this. If it's God's love and it's God's word, then isn't it God sharing? It's not you. It's him. If you share God's love, your testimony of what he's done in your life, if you share God's holy scriptures, it's God sharing, not you. Oh, and by the way, is there anywhere that you could go that God isn't? No. So you could do this anywhere with anybody. Granted, you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the last point is, what can we share in the big wide world? Could you be trained here and experienced here in your hometown, your region, and then take that experience to someplace else in the world? Sure you could. When you become trained and equipped, God could then motivate you and move you to do something else. Would you please pray and ask God for a vision of what He wants you to do with your life? And then suck it up and enjoy the faith and hope that He will actually accomplish that through you. Here's a couple illustrations from the book of Acts that we read this week. What do you see here? So they called the apostles back in and commanded them, never again speak and teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him? We can't stop telling everything we have seen and heard. So, are there times when we can obey God rather than the authorities over us? There certainly are. There will be authorities in our nation that say, well, you can't share that on your job. You can't share that in this classroom. You can't do this. The fact of the matter is, you can't. And there are times when the Spirit will lead you to not obey the authorities in sharing what God's done for you. Are we to tell about everything we've seen and heard of the person of Jesus Christ? What I'm asking you to do is share your testimony, what Christ has done for your life. In Acts 5:41 and 42, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer disgrace in the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. So, could we suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus? You sure could. So could I. Where did they do their ministry? They did it in the church. They did it from house to house. They continued to talk about this message that Jesus is the Messiah. That's all I'm asking you to do, is to start here, to start now sharing the good news. So, what would be a good place for you and I to start? If I'm reading it correct, all we need to do is tell people about what we've seen and heard about the Jesus, our Savior, in our own life. That's all I'm asking you to do, is what happened to you. How hard is that? All you need to do is have the guts, have the courage, have the confidence to open the topic of discussion. This week, around the Thanksgiving table, they'll talk football, they'll talk NASCAR, they'll talk politics. There'll be a lot of things, but somebody could bring up the topic of what Jesus did in their life, couldn't they? And that somebody could be you. That's all it takes, is having the guts to bring up the topic. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things, the things He planned from long ago. That's it. We are God's masterpiece. We're created to do this. You won't fulfill your life potential if you don't.